And we're going to be studying for the next 5 weeks. And I'm excited because I think that, well, I believe, and I've been reading Deuteronomy quite a bit, I believe that it's going to bolster our faith. Amen? It can increase our faithfulness, right? How many of you want to be more faithful? Amen. That's pretty much everybody in here. So I think we're going in the right direction. If you haven't been here the last 5 weeks, maybe you're a visitor here for the first time. I know the Goodmans are here visiting. Thank you, Reagan, for the special music. We just finished up a big series called All In, right? Yeah. On that prayer that Jesus prayed and told us about. And so now we're going to move into faithfulness. And I think here's the big point. The big point is this. Wait, is it working? No? No? Randy, is it? Oh, there we go. Is that? Oh, that's not, that's, I must have the wrong slide there. Don't worry about it, that's fine. My mistake. Here's the thing. All of us are called to remain faithful. Amen? Amen. All of us, there we go. All of us are called to remain faithful. And I'm so glad this morning that God doesn't expect us to do it on our own. Amen. Right? He gives us his help and his aid to be able to do that. And I think the reality, though, is that's easier said than done because life presents various challenges and distractions that pull us away from our purpose of loving God and loving others. And this series is going to deal with the history and theology of the book of Deuteronomy, examining its relevance for our lives today by looking back at their lives in the past. And so I think through understanding their culture and the context, I think we'll get a better picture of understanding the importance of trusting God and remembering that that relationship with him involves faithfulness, it involves trust, it involves building, 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 getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Amen? And so with that, I want to start with prayer. Let us bow our heads. Father God, we worship you, we praise you because you're a God who is love. You're a God who is worthy of all praise. And Father, this morning, I pray that you are lifted up, God, and that our faith will be increased because, Lord, you're able to do that and you want to do that. You want to draw us closer to you. You want to teach us things. You want us to adhere to what you say because they're benefits and blessings. And so, God, I pray that you work through me this morning and work on the minds and hearts of the people here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So going back to the other slide, was that the second one and that's the third one? So maybe going backwards. Let's see. There we go. The sermon, it's not called Let's Make a Deal. I preemptively gave Natalie the wrong title, and that's my fault. The sermon title this morning is It's Time to Move On. It's time to move on. Now, some of you are probably getting a little nervous thinking, what's he going to do today, right? Is he going to preach till 2 o'clock again? No, not today, okay? Not today. But it's time to move on. And we're looking at the book of Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy actually means the second law. The translation for Deuteronomy is the second law. Now, is it really the second law? No, but it's the teaching, the retelling of the covenant that God made with his people. And in Deuteronomy chapter 1, we see Moses there standing, retelling the story about the people who were chosen by God and their wandering. And he's retelling this story. And, you know, when I think about the people Moses is speaking to, because Moses is speaking to the second generation in Deuteronomy chapter 1. They're on the edge of the promised land. that God has promised from the years before. And so he's speaking to the second generation. It reminds me of this thought. Have you ever met someone whose parents did something terribly wrong? Have you ever met somebody like that? Maybe you have a parent or parents that have done something terribly wrong. Maybe it was a person whose father or mother went to prison. Maybe they were a drug addict. There's always the sentiment that that person doesn't end up like their parents. You get what I'm trying to say? Don't mess up like your parents did, you'll hear. In fact, the best testimonies you can hear are about the people who have overcome tremendous obstacles and not ended up like their predecessors. And here Moses is standing on the edge of the promised land, and he's saying, look, this is what happened. We were at this mountain. We were encamped for a whole year. And God said, the promised land is 140 miles away. It would take you 11 days to walk there with your people. And God's people, your parents and your grandparents, took 40 years. They died during this journey, which should have taken 11 days. Somebody say mercy. Moses is, he's more convicted than I am right now. And I'm going, wow. He's retelling the story about the people's wandering. But more importantly, I think what we're going to see as we go through Deuteronomy, and it's a beautiful picture of God's faithfulness, God's promises, which he keeps. God says, hey, I'm going to move you from here to here. It could take this long, but it may take this long. But I know one thing for certain is we're going to get to the end. And I'm going to be with you the whole way. And so I think as we go through this book, I hope it encourages you as it's encouraging me. And I think often too, as I read chapter 1 and chapter 2 all the way to chapter 6 this week, I thought about the fact of, you know, if you watch TV shows or a movie and you get to the end of season 1, what do you want to see? Why? You want to know what happens, right? Guess what? This is season 2, folks, right here. Deuteronomy 1 starts out with season 2 of God's people. We get the full picture here. Season 1, it's we're on the edge of our seats watching these people do some crazy things, but also seeing God saying, hey, I'm with you. Hey, I'm with you. Hey, I'm with you. But now guess what? It's time for season 2, and it gets better. And the promises become real. And we see God work in amazing ways. And so as we get into it this morning, I want you to turn your Bibles with me to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Chapter 1. And we're going to be reading verses 6 through 8. Verses 6 through 8. And it says this. This is Moses talking to the people here. Quote, the Lord our God said to us in Horeb, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. Turn and take your journey and go to the hill country of the Amorites and to all their neighbors in the Arabah, in the hill country and in the lowland and in the Negeb and by the seacoast and the land of the Canaanites and Lebanon and as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. See, I have set the land before you. Go in and take possession of the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them and their offspring after them. So there you have it. There you have it. Moses is with in that story setting there, what he's retelling on that mountain, below that mountain, I should say. The people of God are there, the Israelites. And they had been delivered out of where? Egypt, right? They'd come out of Egypt. They'd been delivered out of slavery. They're there on the mountain. They're camping out in their Airstream trailers. Okay, maybe not. But they had beautiful tents, I'm sure. Okay? They're getting food every day, right? Provided by this guy, God, right? They're having their sacrificial system. They're living life. Could we say they're somewhat comfortable there on that mountain, in that camp? You could say that. There were some things they did that were questionable, but you could say they were pretty comfortable. And here Moses is retelling the story, and God tells Moses to tell them to go, to move, to pack up their stuff, and like I said earlier, to go 140 miles to the promised land. And notice what he says. He says, take the land. Go in and take the land. It's yours. You can have it. We know that's not very far. Imagine if we were the Israelite people camped right here. It would be like us going to Bakersfield. Or should I say it's like Bakersfield coming to us, right? Because this is the promised land. Let's turn it around. I'm sorry. Yeah. It wouldn't take me 11 days. I'd be here in like 2. Okay. I mean, we are so hard-hearted, you know, as people. Like, it blows my mind. But God promised them that. And the promised land was better than the Central Coast, right? A land flowing with milk and honey and all these great things. But that's how far it is. It's 140 miles to Bakersfield, or Bakersfield to here, I should say, right? And we see later on in chapter 1, Moses continues the gut-wrenching story of complaining people, weary people, disheartened people, and grumblers. And Moses is trying to motivate, he's trying to teach, he's trying to encourage this next generation that they can be the ones to take hold of the promise. But what can we learn? And I want to just kind of focus in today on these three verses. What can we learn from verses 6 to 8 today in Arroyo Grande in 2020? We're not in the promised land yet. What can we learn from these verses? Well, I think one thing we can take away is this. Camping out in our comfort zones, and I don't mean Airstream trailers, can be what? Dangerous. Camping out in our comfort zones can be dangerous. It's easy to settle into a life of ease, isn't it? I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying it can be dangerous. Consider these thoughts. There is a danger in any business or ministry to become self-satisfied. Instead of advancing to new levels, people become content with the status quo and staying in their comfort zone. We have nice cars, nice homes, nice kids, nice neighborhoods, nice jobs, nice clothes, nice church. Why change anything? Christians often fall into this trap right here. It goes something like this. I'm in Christ. I'm going to be going to heaven. I've been baptized. I have a nice church, nice friends. I read 3 or 4 chapters from the Bible each day. Why change anything? Aren't I doing enough? Churches can have this attitude too. Well, we have a nice building. We can see the ocean from here. We have a great congregation with great people. They're all perfect, including the pastor. We have nice ministries. Why change anything? God never intended for the Christian or the Christian church to stand still. We're soldiers, not squatters. Amen? And like the song goes, like a mighty army moves the church of God. Onward, Christian soldiers. We need to be advancing and not camping out or squatting around the mountain or on the mountain in our case. God says, you've been on this mountain long enough. Or to put it another way, it's time to crank it up a notch. It's time to move on. I have something better for you. Remember the promises that I told you? He's telling the Israelites. Yes, Moses says. Well, let's go take hold of them. You know, we've seen improvements in our church, in ministries over the past several years. Amen. But I'll tell you this, I am not satisfied, and God has more for us to do. Yeah. Did you hear that? I'm not satisfied, and God has much more for us to do. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, God has more for you to do. Come on. Turn to the person next to you. God has more for you to do, Jamie. God has more for you to do. Right? Karma. God has more for you to do. He does. You know, the second thing I was thinking of is God here, it's a command to move on. Right? Here's the thing. A stagnant river breeds all sorts of bad things. Mosquitoes, diseases, and even, you could say, death in some cases. An unmoved vehicle here on the Central Coast or in Michigan is destroyed by rust. Right? A person who lies in bed develops bed sores. A person that won't work becomes lazy. Here's the thing. We have to move on. I'm not talking about changing our message. You know, as I heard in the missionary video, they said over and over again, we're bringing the Advent message to these people. I think that's a great message. We have message of Jesus is coming back. We believe that. Amen. And he gives us his Spirit to have now to reside in us, to help us to love and to become love for other people. I think it's a beautiful message. And it's a message that the world needs to hear and see. And I'm glad I got some amens from that. It's okay. I'm not talking about changing that message. But what I'm talking about is improving the quality and effectiveness of our methods. It's not 1880. It's not 1950. Things change. Methods change. Generations change. You know that right now, 46%, I just read this morning in an article, 46% of millennials claim to have no faith. It's going to completely flip the scales in the next 10 years. And what's interesting in the article, I know I'm getting off subject here, in the article I was reading, it was actually about predictions about the future of church and shifting attendance. It said this, number one, the potential to gain is still greater than the potential to lose. See, there's a world out there of people, amen, that need to see and experience and hear about how much God loves them. And he calls us, the small group, and other churches as well, to demonstrate and show that to people. We still haven't reached everyone, right? Friends, family, neighbors, coworkers, we haven't reached them with what? The love of Jesus. We need to reach them with the love of Jesus. There's still a lot of work to do. And I love what Joshua 13:1 says here. This is later on. They're already in the promised land here, okay? And this blew my mind when I read this. It says, now Joshua was old and advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, you are old and advanced in years, and there remains yet very much land to possess. They're already there. They've taken it, the land, so to speak. They're living there. And God tells Joshua, but there's more. You know, here's the thing with God. We think, oh, dear God, I wish my neighbor or my son, my daughter, whoever you fill in the blank, would come to know you. And God says, hey, whoa, hang on. I've got 50 more that you come in contact with on a weekly basis that need to see and experience how much I love them. See, God has this ability to see so much more than we do. And when we just get a glimpse of that and we walk forward by faith, amazing things can happen. You know, even after Israel, and I'm going backwards here, entered the promised land and defeated 31 different kings they defeated. God reminded them, Joshua here, that there was still more. They hadn't finished. There was still more. And I think that Another thing we can pick up on here is there's a challenge to overcome obstacles. When God says to go, when God says to serve, when God says to go in this direction, we're going to have challenges. We're going to have obstacles, right? That's part of the growing process. That's part of life. With any change, there's almost always something to challenge us. You know, I remember when we moved from our little home. We rented in Napomo for about 2 years. We moved from that home. It had a small little backyard in it. You'd walk out the back door, and it was like 8 feet to the wall, right? A small little yard, and you know, it was a cute little house. And we moved to our new home that had an acre on it with a pool. And the kids, you know what they said to us? We want to move back to our old house. See, there's things that we're familiar with, right? Even when we buy a new car, we miss that old car, right? We love the new car, but we're like, yeah, I like the old one. See, there's things that we face, challenges that we face when we have changes come. Between where Israel was camped and the possessing of the promised land, there were several obstacles. And we read about that throughout Deuteronomy and Joshua. Number one, there was enemies to confront. There was giants in the land, right? Notice that Moses told the people, when I read that text, to just go and take the land. But the people, when they got there, we can read in Deuteronomy 1:28, it says, Where are we going up? Our brothers have made our hearts melt, saying, the people are greater and taller than we are. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. And besides, we have seen the sons of Anakim there. Oh, no. You know what I call that? Fake news. Because they came back to the camp and they said what they saw, but they forgot what they were promised and they believed it, and the whole camp was up in arms. I hate fake news. Yeah. That was one big challenge they had. And we see the dilemma there and the struggle. There was battles to be fought. It wasn't going to be easy, but God would see them through. Take that to heart for a minute there. Joshua 17:15-18 says, and Joshua said to them, if you are a numerous people, go up by yourselves to the forest, and there clear the ground for yourself in the land of the Perizzites and the Rephaim, since the hill country of Ephraim is too narrow for you. The people of Joseph said, the hill country is not enough for us. Yet all the Canaanites who dwell in the plain have chariots of iron, both those in Beth Shean and the villages and those in the valley of Jezreel. Then Joshua said to the house of Joseph, to Ephraim and Manasseh, you are a numerous people and have great power. You shall not have one allotment only, but the hill country shall be yours. For though it is a forest, you shall clear it and possess it to its furthest borders, and you shall drive out the Canaanites, though they have chariots of iron and though they are strong. Once again, people coming saying, this isn't possible. They have better this. They have better that. But God reminds them, hey, you have my word. You have my promise that you can have it, all of this. You know, there's so many stumbling blocks that we face as believers, as Christians. Stumbling blocks, as I call them, of unbelief, right? And I think that they stand between where we are now and where God wants to take us as individuals and as a church. And I just wrote six of them down here. I'm just going to go over them very quickly. Number one, the first stumbling block is the evaluation obstacle. It's like this. We need to honestly assess where we're at. What's working? What's not working? Let's stop and let's evaluate it before we go any further, right? Number two, the vision obstacle. Well, what's our vision for the future of the Seventh-day Adventist Church or here locally? Improve the facilities, make the parking lot bigger, beautify our landscaping more, equip our building, enlarge our outreach, upgrade our education system, make it a full-on high school, right, Chris? Okay, grow. Raise the quality of music here. Grow more leaders, serve our community, get ready for the return of Jesus. See, I think those are all great things, but we can get stuck planning and pushing and get too broad when maybe God has one thing he wants us to do this year. Maybe God has three things. I don't know. But I think we need to pray about it and see where God leads. Amen. Another one is the expertise or the leadership obstacle. Another one is the cost obstacle. Oh, that's going to cost way too much money. We can't do that, right? I remember when we wanted to hire a Bible worker here, somebody that would come in and help out with doing Bible studies and outreach. And the cost obstacle was a big thing. But guess what? We don't have any back debt because of that. And all we have is blessings because of it. Because we stepped out in faith and we said, no, we can do this. And we did. And then there's the commitment obstacle, right? That's a pretty big one. Are we committed to do what's necessary to help us move on, as God says, to continue forward? And then, oh boy, there's the faith obstacle, which can trump them all. How's your faith today? See, we can see from Deuteronomy 1 that Moses was retelling the story of all the obstacles and all the trials that the Israelites faced. But more importantly, Moses was conveying to the people the absolute faithfulness of God for his people. And they were on the edge of the promised land. And Moses is sitting there saying, yes, the people failed. Yes, the people failed. Yes, the people failed. But guess what? God doesn't fail. God is faithful. And that is a comforting thought for me today in 2020. Here's the question. Will we step out in faith, trusting God to bless and meet our needs? In the home, in the church, in the school, in your own heart. Will we step out in faith, trusting God to meet and bless our needs? And I want to invite the praise team up as I kind of wrap up this morning here. And we're going to stand in a moment and sing a song together. There was a general by the name of Douglas MacArthur. And he once said that a man is old when he begins to look backwards more than he looks forwards. We have a choice. We can look forward and enjoy God's blessings in the days ahead, or we can live in the past and forfeit what God wants for us today. I do that. I look back a lot. When God says, turn and look forward. Remember what you've done in the past. Learn from it. And look forward to the promises ahead and the people that I have for you to reach. God is, I believe, calling us to move out in faith. Even in 2020, we're part of the great story. Amen? Amen. To serve, to love, to listen, to give, to worship, to encourage, to proclaim, and to move. So right now I'm going to ask you guys to move by standing up. And we're going to sing this great song, which is called Do It Again. It's going to be our theme song for the next 5 weeks. And I love the chorus. It says, your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness, I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. Thank you.
thought by now they'd fall. But you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. I know the night won't last. Your word will come to my heart will sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again.
Oh, yes, it will, Lord.
Promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. This is my confidence. You never fail me yet. I see you move. You move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. Still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never failed me yet. That.
Let's pray. God, as we hear about your faithfulness to those people that wandered, we know that the promise was sure. They made it to that promised land. And Lord, I realized this morning that you had even more for them there than they even realized. And God, I realize today that your promise still remains. And you have more for us, God. Yes, we look forward to being with you in the future. But God, we realize that today you have places and people for us to love and witness to. And so God, I pray that not only throughout this series, but throughout the next week, God, You'll open doors of opportunity where we can shower others with love and blessing. And God, thank you for your faithfulness. May we continually be reminded of how faithful you are to us and how much you love us. May that inspire us to desire to be faithful to you. Father, I pray this in Jesus' name today. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Have a great Sabbath.